Welcome to White Paper World, the podcast that helps B2B writers and marketers get better results from your white papers. Issue 41, May 9th, 2024. Quick tip, get to the point. No one is waiting on the edge of their chair for your white paper to arrive. B2B prospects are busy. They have too much to do, too much to read, too much to think about, interruptions coming at them from all directions, and their boss just dropped another big project on their desk. That's why every sentence you write for them has to get to the point. Strunk and White put this eloquently in Principle of Composition number 17 in the Elements of Style. A sentence should contain no unnecessary words, a paragraph no unnecessary sentences, for the same reason that a drawing should have no unnecessary lines, and a machine no unnecessary parts. That's my favorite passage in that entire little book, and I try to follow it every time I write anything. So how do you write concisely? I'll tell you the secret right now. Write, and then rewrite, and then do it again, and again, and every time you rewrite, cut, and compress. I routinely do 5 drafts before I send anything to a client. And during each draft, even the 4th or the 5th, I try to cut at least 10% of the words. It's easy to see your word count that's built right into Word and GDocs. So watch your word count and bring it down. Get to the point. White papers and pickleball? How could any two things be more different? I mean, one's a business document and the other's a fast-growing sport. But what if these two really do have something in common? So here's another in my light-hearted series of unlikely comparisons. 6 ways white papers are like pickleball. White papers and pickleball number 1. You must get the ball over the net. When you start a white paper, get the thing done and out the door. If you don't do that, it's game over. When I analyzed 300 white papers I had worked on, I was astounded to find that 50 were started but never finished. And that wasn't because I gave up on them. That was because the client couldn't resolve some internal issue, so those papers died on the vine. And all the time and resources we spent on them were wasted. Same thing with pickleball. When you chase a ball, you need to reach it. When you take a swing, you need to hit it. When you hit the ball, you need to get it over the net. If you don't do that much, it's all over for that volley. So both white papers and pickleball call for persistence and follow through to get the job done. White papers and pickleball number 2, you must be patient. Any good white paper takes weeks to research, draft, review, design, and promote. Press a button and let AI craft you a white paper in 5 minutes? Dream on. Any writer can get impatient. Another round of comments, another PDF to proof. But that's when I tell myself to keep calm and carry on. Here are some tips to help you stay patient. Make a plan before you start. Spend lots of time on research. Leave your draft overnight to review tomorrow. Allow ample time for reviews. Proofread every PDF before you release it. No white paper gives instant results, but a little patience will help you complete it. Pickleball takes patience too. Learning any new sport involves months of feeling like a noob. You miss easy serves, you flub shots, you smash the ball too hard. Happily, I play in a league where everyone just laughs at our flubs, but we're all getting better as we practice. So both white papers and pickleball take patience. White papers and pickleball number 3. You must know what's in and what's out. In a white paper, you must know what to put in and what to leave out. You want your white paper to provide useful, helpful, practical information for a busy business person. So leave all that in. but leave out anything that will waste your reader's time. Cliches they've heard 1,000 times. Hype and marketing speak. Throat clearing at the start. Tired or vague expressions. Unnecessary detail. Most of all, leave out the sales pitch. All that stuff is outside the bounds of clear and persuasive communication. In pickleball, you must know when the ball's in and when it's out. There are some rules that all players follow. You have to serve from the right serve zone to the right receive zone. If your serve doesn't land in the receive zone, you lose the serve. If a ball lands on the line, it's in. If a ball lands outside the line, it's out. Both in white papers and in pickleball, you must know what's in and what's out. White papers and pickleball number 4. You must try for a satisfying sound. A well-phrased white paper has a solid ring to it. The wording just sounds right. The sentences hang together well, and the whole discussion has a pleasing arrangement. Readers find themselves nodding in agreement as they go, almost like they're listening to some pleasant music. You can make your white paper sound better by having Word read it back to you. And it's the same with a good pickleball shot. Every racket has a sweet spot. When you hit the ball just right, it gives a resounding. I lived near my town's outdoor pickleball courts all summer. I can hear the delightful pop, pop, pop of the volleys. That beautiful sound is the reason I tried pickleball in the first place. So you see, both white papers and pickleball need a nice, clear ring. White papers and pickleball number 5. You must realize that skill outweighs equipment. You need minimal gear to write a white paper. An internet connection, a computer to surf the web, maybe Google Docs for free, or Word for $100 a year. You certainly don't need the latest and greatest supercharged PC maxed out with gobs of RAM and a humongous screen. For white papers, it's far more important to have skills in researching, building an argument, writing and editing, designing, promoting. Pickleball also takes minimal gear, a pickleball racket, a ball or two, a court with a net. You certainly don't need a professional-grade racket with carbon friction surface and sweat-absorbing handle. For pickleball, it's far more important to have skills in serving, volleying, backhand shots, ball placement. So for both white papers and pickleball, skills are far more important than gear. White papers and pickleball number 6. You must remember, these are team sports. Every white paper takes a team, including an executive sponsor, a writer, the subject matter experts, the reviewers, a designer, the marketing team doing promotions. I've worked on white papers that drew on 20 different contributors and reviewers. Now that's some team. Pickleball is a team sport too. You can play singles, but most people play in teams. So a game of pickleball takes 2 players on Team A, 2 players on Team B, and probably a timekeeper. In my small league, we've had 18 people out to play on our 2 courts. It's always fun to catch up on town gossip while we wait for our next game. There's no argument here. Both white papers and pickleball are team sports. Conclusions? Well, there you have it. 6 parallels between white papers and pickleball. Can you think of any more? And if you read this far, you must get the spirit of these lighthearted thought experiments. If you want to see more like this, search for white papers and on my site at thatwhitepaperguy.com. You'll see 10 more, from white papers and making your own beer to white papers and George Carlin. The point is to stretch our imagination by looking for parallels between things that at first glance seem completely different. That's a good exercise for any writer. After all, your imagination is something no AI can match. And by the way, I didn't use AI at all in this piece. One last thing, if you haven't tried pickleball yet, it's a super fun way for any writer to get outside and get moving. April book winner, Allison Bell Ashley. Last issue, I asked for the worst advice you've ever heard about white papers. I heard from several people, and our winner came up with a doozy. Allison Bell Ashley is a Toronto-based writer who does both content and copy, plus consulting on content strategy. Originally from Yorkshire in the UK, Allison says she had itchy feet that compelled her to travel. She worked in France and the US before settling in Canada. I started doing office work, and for 30 years I was an executive assistant, she says. So she understands how C-suite executives think. When the pandemic hit, she worked from home. But when her company said come back to the office, she had other ideas. I didn't want to do an hour's commute each way. I didn't want to go into the concrete towers of downtown. And I didn't want to be at a desk 9 to 5, she says. So she decided to quit that job and pursue copywriting full-time. In 2022, I made the big adventurous move to do strategic content marketing and copywriting, she says, and I'm loving it. Happily, she landed an immediate client, a friend running a company who needed help with copywriting. Like everyone who goes out on their own, Allison is facing the challenges of running her own business. When you go into a job, the work comes to your desk. But with your own business, you've got to get out there and market yourself, she notes. That was my biggest learning experience so far. These days, Allison is getting ready to do a push for more clients. Meanwhile, she's experimenting with ChatGPT. For writers, AI is definitely here to stay, she says. So I think the more you use it, the more powerful you're going to be with it. She uses ChatGPT to generate ideas and do research. AI could pull up information in seconds that would take us days to find by ourselves, she notes. But she is aware of the downside. You can't just take what ChatGPT gives you. You have to go in and put your human touch on it, says Allison. You have to think of AI like an assistant. Oh, so in her expert opinion, how does she rate ChatGPT as an executive assistant? Well, speed, 10 out of 10. Research, 9 out of 10, because it can make things up. Thinking 3 steps ahead, 0. Allison says ChatGPT could never handle all the details it takes to organize events like a 3-day executive retreat, but a human assistant can. Just like she did many times in the past. Now, what about that terrible advice on white papers? About 10 years ago, a finance manager shared his views and made me want to walk far, far away from white papers, she says, until I found out the truth. So what was his rotten advice? White papers should be serious by having plenty of technical speak that only experts understand. If you don't understand it, you're not supposed to be reading it. It's not for you. And there should be no color anywhere, not even in the diagrams, and definitely no graphics on the front cover. It should all be black and white. More like a scientific report from PubMed than an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand report that educates in a pleasant way. Is this the worst advice of all time? On every count, this is wrong, wrong, wrong. Doing any of these things would make any white paper very ineffective. Allison recently took the white paper program from AWAI that I helped create, and she realized how bad this advice was. Nothing could be further from the truth, she says. So that was a nice revelation, and I would love to go back and tell him that. So would I. For her book, Allison chose a copy of my own title, White Papers for Dummies, which I was pleased to send her. So good luck with everything, Allison, and thanks. just for fun, how to catch a big wave. So my daughter Lily has been making videos. Like many kids, she dreams of getting millions of views and winning a creator award from YouTube. But like most, she's only getting views in the single digits. The other day, she decided to go with the "you need a hug" meme that's been building for weeks. She cajoled me to help in the middle of my morning coffee. Production values were certainly minimal. She played the soundtrack on her ancient iPhone and recorded us lip-syncing. We did a couple of takes, and Lily uploaded a 9-second video before she left for school. A few days later, she spotted "Meet My Dad" in her YouTube feed. That little clip was her biggest hit yet, with 4.4 thousand views. To see it, there's a link in the print version of the newsletter. The lesson for white paper creators. Just like Lily, every writer and marketer dreams of going viral. If you could catch a hot topic just right, your white paper might take off like a rocket. There are a few steps to that process. One, identify a trend that's still building. Two, figure out how your content works with that trend. And three, publish your content promptly. Lily instinctively did all three. Of course, this is much easier with short social media posts than with long-form content like white papers. But thankfully, B2B trends take months or years to build. That gives us more time to catch a wave. Just remember, going viral is out of our hands. It's up to the vagaries of the almighty algorithm and the shifting sands of public sentiment. As Lily puts it, there's a low chance you're going to become viral overnight and get millions of subscribers. It takes lots of time, so don't give up after a year or two. Some of Lily's other videos are now getting hundreds of views. And to avoid being a one-hit wonder, do what she's doing. Build a well-rounded library of content. That gives any prospects you snare with one meme something more to explore next. Keep on creating great content, and one day you may get a breakthrough.
My name is Lily, and I approve of this message.
That's all for this issue. You can get all the previous issues of White Paper World from that whitepaperguy.com/newsletters. And to get every future issue, visit that whitepaperguy.com/subscribe. Until next time, good luck on all your projects. From that White Paper Guy, Gordon Graham.